Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The Boston public school system needs urgent change, according to City Council President Andrea Campbell. She unveiled a plan today to address systemic inequity in the city's school system. Councillor Campbell joins us now in the studio to talk about it. Hello, Councillor.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Welcome to Radio Boston.
It's great to be with you.
We should mention to our listeners, we have a link to your 16-page plan on our website, radioboston.org, for anyone who wants to see it in its entirety. It has four key components ranging from responsiveness of the central office to access to quality education in schools from early childhood all the way through high school. Your plan starts with a definition of equity, and it struck me that you call for the school system to align on a common set of values. And the first thought that came to me was, did we ever have a common set of values about our schools?
And the short answer is, I don't think so. I started the meetings and the conversations to put together this report in January. And why did I do it? So, you know, I care deeply about the issue of education. Born and raised in the city of Boston, I'm a product of Boston Public Schools. I went to 5 BPS schools, including Boston Latin School. And I leave Latin, I go up to Princeton University and UCLA Law School. And by all measures, I'm a success story. But what I recognize is that this system didn't show up the same way for some of my peers, including my own twin brother, who I talk about often. He is the reason.
You spoke about him with us.
That's right. He is the reason I do this work. Instead of graduating from high school and going off to reach his God-given potential, cycles in and out of the criminal justice system, passes away while in the custody of the Department of Correction at the age of 29. And there's one system I know that failed him, and that was BPS. And so rather than stay in a space of pain and frustration, and I've named the inequities along the way, whether in council hearings, meetings with my school leaders at schools in my district, schools outside my district, talk to families, this was an opportunity to come up with a pragmatic action plan. And before you jump into action steps, I asked hundreds of stakeholders, why are we stuck? Why can't we seem to move forward in BPS? And what came up in that conversation was, what are we moving towards and why? What is the underlying purpose and what are those values? And so in this report, everything is couched in a definition of equity. And in addition to that, for the sub areas, we choose principles and values. And these principles and values, some of my own thinking, along with teachers, educators, retired BPS employees, current BPS employees, families, students, many inform these guiding principles. And I hope that the district, the new superintendent, and others will see them as a step in the right direction. But you can't possibly do this work well if you don't have a value system, or as many companies might say, or organizations, a mission statement of sorts. And that's what this is.
So your equity vision does have a set of values in it and a couple of key things. One that really struck me was this idea that children and young people should be able to self-determine, sort of choose the path they want and be on it, and that we have to really ensure equity and access to schools and access to quality and to choice. So how do we as a city, from elected leaders, school leaders, community leaders, parents, unite around that definition of equity if we've never had this common set of values before?
That's right. And so what I started with was meetings. Sometimes they were at schools. Sometimes they were in communities, people's homes, right? A lot of this has been informed not just by the work we did this year and last year, but even when I was a candidate, door knocking folks and asking them about issues they cared about. And I looked at definitions of equity from other large cities, other school districts, other reports. There's been some recommendations. In a budget hearing with our own BPS leadership, we had been talking about equity. And I paused and I said, Superintendent, you know, what is our definition of equity? And a few folks said, that's a good question. So that told me that we really needed something to work with. And I wanted a definition that people could wrap their head around that was sort of in lay terms. And for me, what we came up with, I think, is really great. And I say we, I mean, because it was informed by many. And I'm going to read it because I think it's that
Okay.
Special. You know, equity is giving every child what they need to succeed in school and pursue the life of their choosing. In Boston, we must commit to the idea that those who have the least deserve the most from our public schools.
So I want to pick up on that.
Yes.
So parity and equity are closely related. Your number two priority is essentially parity and access to quality schools. Boston has a fraught history with how it's attempted to achieve this, from, you know, the busing debacle after the 1974 court decision to desegregate our schools. How do you achieve fair, equitable access to quality schools no matter where students live, when we've been trying to solve that problem for a long time?
That's right. I mean, I think first it is understanding that when you do everything from an equity lens, and in this particular case, we hope it's a definition that the district might adopt or at least have an open mind about adopting or have a conversation about. It is recognizing that when we say ensuring that this school district gives those who have the least, that means our English language learners, our special needs students, those who need more supports from our system. It also means grappling with that history, the underbelly of the history of the city of Boston that involves segregation, racial inequities, of course, busing, much in the school context. My father, who was born in Roxbury in 1933, was a graduate of BPS himself, Boston Tech. We often heard these stories growing up in the city of Boston. So this equity definition also calls upon us to serve those communities that have been marginalized or excluded or underserved or under-resourced for a long time. And that is our Black and brown communities in the city of Boston that still live in neighborhoods where the access to a quality school is not great.
One of the other groups of young people that you just mentioned there were young people who are English language learners or require special education. Is it realistic to think that we can get more such programs in the high quality schools within the 1 to 3 year time period that you're calling for? How are you going to get that done?
Absolutely. We have to be intentional. And when you actually do things with an equity framework and a certain type of guiding values, it can happen. If you don't have those values guiding you that say, for our special needs students, our English language learners, those who have the most need, we cannot continue to concentrate them in our high schools that are under-resourced or underperforming. We have to make sure that they have an opportunity to be assigned to our tier one schools. And so in this plan, it talks about the district coming up with a plan not only to expand the tier one classification of schools. So right now there's not enough.
So you want more of them.
More quality. But then saying we have to be intentional about shifting where our special programs for our English language learners, for our special needs students, are concentrated. Right now, they're concentrated, say, in open enrollment high schools or those schools that are struggling because they are tasked with meeting the needs of a large percentage of students. Sometimes the majority of students in their buildings have special needs, and English language learner students with special needs as well. So we have to disperse that across all of our schools. Every school should take their fair share of students who have needs. That's what equity calls for. So this is an opportunity for us to do that. And I'll just name one stat that really resonated with me. You know, as a resident in Mattapan, I have a 21-month-old son. We're thinking about schools now, of course. I absolutely want him to go to BPS. If you live in Mattapan, you have a 5% rate, right, or access rate to a high-quality school. If you live in other parts of the city of Boston, say downtown Boston, it's 80%. Or in some areas, it might be higher than that. That's astounding. So that clearly tells us we have to do something swiftly.
It is.
But we can.
And to that point, what do you say to people who read your plan and say, okay, well, to make this more fair for some, we're going to have to make it less fair for others? So do you take away from the 80% in order to increase that 5%? And isn't that a legitimate concern of parents as well?
I don't think so. I am very mindful of that, and I've heard that framing, and I always say, if any system is failing some, it's failing all of us. Those students that don't do well in school, and this might be a tangent, where do they go? Who do they turn into? They're probably not the most productive members of our society. So if we're failing them now, we're also failing them later, which has an impact on all of us, all of our community. So I truly believe we're all in this together. And to make a system equitable, fair to all, there's a way to do that. There's a way to do it without taking away anything from anyone to make sure that this system shows up. Right now, it's showing up for some, but not many. And if you look at the population of our BPS schools and the students. You know, we're talking about a high percentage of students of color, over 80%. Special needs students, English language learners, high percentages, almost so that when you add all those populations up, it's almost 90% of our student population that falls into some of these subcategories. So all of our students need a lot in BPS.
So, Counselor Campbell, we've got a new superintendent coming in, incoming Superintendent Brenda Caselius. She spoke to us in May and named a number of things that are necessary to make schools more equitable.
What matters for that is overall school funding and making sure that all schools are funded equitably, which is really important. The mayor and his commitment to early childhood and getting the first 1,000 days of a child's life, and then also looking at getting and ensuring all schools have high-quality, competent, and caring teachers within them and a strong school leader, and then also making sure that there are rigorous offerings within schools.
What about resources? Does BPS have what it needs to provide what you're outlining in this plan? And if they don't, how are they going to get it?
So I think with a school budget that's over $1 billion and continues to increase, I think there are plenty of resources there. I think what we need to talk about is, where is the money going? How is it being used? Where are the inefficiencies in the system? How do we move things around? How do we make tough choices? I also, at the same time, though, I'm at the state, just like our mayor, just like our superintendent, saying, fix the student formula so that our state resources increase. Give us the money you owe us for our charter schools. Right now, we are not being fully reimbursed for our charter schools, and that's a problem. And that's state law. That's a mandate. Not being fulfilled by the state. But when I look at the local level where I sit and the power I have, with over $1 billion and in some cases a declining student population or stagnant population in some parts of the district, we have to be doing better. And the overall budget of BPS keeps going up. But we can't just keep putting money at the issue. We have to have accountability metrics. We have to have a plan. And I hope that this action plan, which I hope is very pragmatic, is a catalyst to move us in the right direction. But I think we have a lot of resources now to get this right.
So to that point, accountability of the central office in the district is key to your plan. You, as you said, you know, you have your sphere of authority and not sphere of authority. You don't have direct control over the city's public schools. So how are you going to ensure that the district implements the changes you're calling for?
I mean, one of the things that we do have as a counselor and as the Boston City Council, the legislative branch of government, is we're responsible for the overall budget of the city of Boston. You know, we take our votes on Wednesday. And I think there's ways in which we can push for the system to show up better for all families and to hold them accountable. But one thing I wanted to do with this plan was to make sure that there were concrete action items that everyone could wrap their head around, including our families, our parents, our students, our teachers, our school leaders. You know, we're calling for the central office to do specific things, including overhauling our welcome centers so they're more welcoming to families, more customer service oriented. All these things can happen. We attach a timeline that we hope the district might say, you know what? Yes, let's do that. So I hope by using the authority of the council to review the budget, we're asking the tough questions. We also have an opportunity here with specific ideas and thoughts. Okay. I didn't want to just talk about the inequities. I also wanted to put forth ideas. And I'm like, here you go. Now work with me. And I look forward to working with the new superintendent.
So excuse me for interrupting. We're short on time. And I want to get at least one parent voice
in. You mean we
in.
Can't stay here all
no,
day?
No, we can't. This is Travis Marshall of a parent organization, Quality Education for Every Student. And he's also a BPS parent.
There oftentimes are moments where there is a feeling that the parent and families and students themselves are sort of last in line in the conversation. That sort of feels like the plans are created up, you know, on high and eventually come down to individual school communities and the families that make up those communities. And by the time they're there, they're pretty much set in stone.
Just very briefly, how do you flip that around to make parents and families feel more heard while also giving school leaders what they need?
And I absolutely agree with his assessment. In the report, we put forth a diagram. It's a triangle that we flip. We say we need the central office to completely flip its accountability way of thinking. The central office is accountable to our school leaders, and the school leaders are accountable to our families and our students. The families and the students are the foundation. that's who we all answer to. And right now, they shouldn't be at the bottom. They should be at the top informing this conversation. And we hope that the ideas we have set forth with respect to that, that the district adopts them and that the superintendent, who I look forward to working with, also makes it a part of her plan.
Well, equity, accountability, and keeping families at the top. Boston City Council President Andrea Campbell, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, we begin WBUR's week-long series on the price of health care. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.